Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers put up 8 runs and get a win in Colorado. We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit more about Freddie Freeman and all that stuff. We'll talk about Caleb Ferguson and some comments he made last week. And then we'll look ahead at the series with the Padres. So that's what's on tap. So make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Make it easy on yourself and subscribe in both of those places so we get directly to you every Monday through Friday without having a hassle. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio. My usual co-host is Jeff Snyder. He won't be here today, but either way, we're both lifelong Dodger fans that have spent time covering the team in a variety of ways. And now we cover the team via podcast, as well as maybe a couple other ways. But we're here to talk about the Dodgers. We're here to talk about the win over the Rockies. We're here to talk about a few other things. But let's start off with the very positive news that the Dodgers did not get swept in Colorado. They salvaged the series, won a game, put up 8 runs. Freddie Freeman started things off in the first with the home run. Cody Bellinger closed things off with the home run in the 8th. And then there was some run scoring in between. Newly called up Jake Lamb got on base twice, scored twice. Pretty good first start for him. Eddie Alvarez had a couple RBIs. Good to see him put the bat on the ball. And Will Smith continued his hot tear in the month of June with another monster home run. That's what happened offensively on the mound. Julio Urias continued to pitch well. 5 1/3, 3 earned runs. Not quite the line he probably wanted, but it's a line that's admirable at what is known as Coors Field, because Coors Field is just a different thing. The flip side, the Dodgers got to Marquez for the Rockies, who has been a guy who's one of their better pitchers. So offensively, it was good. Pitching-wise, Julio ERA only went up to 2.64, continues to make a mark for the All-Star, and Freddie Freeman after the game said that Julio earned his All-Star vote because he's been doing it for the whole season and continuing to pitch well. So all in all, it was a good game. Like I mentioned, Jake Lamb got called up because Zach McKinstry went on the injured list. He's got the start in left field. He got a single in the first inning. He later on walked and scored both times thanks to Eddie Alvarez, who drove him in both of those times. And it was one of those days where the top of the order, where a lot of times when the Dodgers win, the top of the order is the one that did some work. Trey Turner only had one hit, but it was a big two-run double. Freddie Freeman had a pair of hits, and one of them being that home run. Will Smith had two hits, and one of them being a home run. And then you got the bottom of the order that got on base for them, with Lamb getting on twice. Trey Thompson came in after him. He got on base. Gavin Lux had a couple hits, and then Eddie Alvarez had a hit and two RBIs. So it's a team effort all around, but mostly bottom and top of the order, the middle of the order. Max Muncy, Chris Taylor didn't fare so well, going to combine 0-for-9. Jeff talked about how maybe Muncy's home run could be that spark. We've yet to find that spark for Max Muncy this year because he followed it up with an 0-for-5 performance. But it's one of those things where at this point in time, as long as Max Muncy is hitting home runs at a somewhat occasional rate, it's better than him hitting home runs at no rate. So I'll take what I can get with Max Muncy. You know, his average is up to 162, so that means he has been hitting better as of late, because he was down in the 150s for a while. But either way, could be better. But on the Dodgers side, pitching wise it was only 4 pitchers, thanks to Bruce Dar Gratterall going an inning and 2/3, Julio with the first 5 1/3, and then Reyes Maranta, who gave up a home run. And then David Price closed it out. David Price continuing his way as a guy that pitches in mop-up duty for the most part, but could be thrust into a different role here in the future, especially with this big series coming up with the Padres, which we're going to get into later. That's really pretty much it from the game. The Dodgers completed all three games in Colorado under 3 hours. That's a big pro, the con being that they only won one of those games. But hey, if you're going to have to lose games, like we've said plenty of times before, keep it under 3 hours, and at least you can salvage something on our end. From some news and notes from before the game, Dave Roberts expects Mookie Betts to be back before the All-Star break, which is here coming up in a couple weeks. But he doesn't expect him to be playing in the outfield when he comes back. He will be a DH because throwing the ball is still what causes him most of his issues. Swinging the bat hasn't really caused him too much of that. So, the very least, we might see Mookie Betts here in the next week and a half or so. That's going to be a big boost to the Dodgers offense, assuming he's right. We got Zach McKinstry, like I mentioned, placed on the injured list the other day. He'll be down for at least those 10 days. We finally get our first look at Jake Lamb. I'm excited about that because if he can, well, we'll just get into this. So Dave Roberts was on the podcast, a new podcast with John Heyman and Joel Sherman, New York Post, I believe, podcast. And they asked him about Justin Turner and how, you know, Dave Roberts finds that balance of is he washed? Basically, is he washed or is he just struggling? And, you know, Dave Roberts brought up some points, decent points in the sense of Justin Turner still hitting well with runners in scoring position and that he had looked better in the month of May. But now back in the month of June, he's been bad. You know, April 526 OPS, May 773 OPS, June 567 OPS. And you look at the numbers and it's, you know, pretty crazy. Bases empty, his OPS is 479. Runners in scoring position, his OPS is 875. Runners in scoring position, Justin Turner's hitting 286 with a 508 slugging percentage. So, you know, Dave Roberts is right that he's still able to produce with runners on base for whatever reason that is. He's not being able to produce when there's not, or at least runners in scoring position. But the interesting thing that Dave Roberts said is that basically they have to continue to play him. You know, he went on a little thing about those players that are, you know, battling Father Time, and he mentioned, you know, Clayton Kershaw and Albert Pujols and different guys he's managed over the years. Adrian Gonzalez is one of the names, you know, different names he's managed over the years where they've been in similar type situations. And he said, you know, he did admit to having maybe to having trust in those guys because they've done it before. He didn't say to a fault, but that's exactly what I was thinking in my mind, especially when he mentioned Kershaw because we all know about 2019. But regardless of that, he mentioned that basically they're going to keep putting him out there because they don't necessarily have a better option right now. And realistically, someone that can play third base on an everyday basis and hit better than what Justin Turner's been hitting, I mean, technically they don't have that option on the roster, or at least they're not willing. They don't have a for sure option that says, oh yeah, this is the for sure option. Sit Justin Turner and then we'll go from there, because they don't really have that guy. Max Muncy could be that guy. But he hasn't been hitting either. So then you look at a guy like Jake Lamb, who in theory could be that guy. He can play third base. And if he can hit like he's been hitting in the minors, then he's a guy that can be an everyday player. He's been an all-star before in the majors. So we know its capabilities there. Obviously, his swing is different now. So you can't really compare him to his old days as a one-time all-star. But he's the closest thing they've had to somebody that can be somebody that's good enough to supplant Justin Turner at third base. Do I think it's going to happen? Not really, but I do think Jake Lamb's going to get a lot of at-bats over the next couple weeks, and he's going to be able to show if he can be a guy that can have a spot on this team and potentially in a starting lineup, especially if Mookie Betts doesn't get back into the outfield and they can move some guys around in the infield if Justin Turner continues to struggle. So that's where we're at there. You know, Justin Turner, he just hasn't been good this year, but the numbers do prove that he has been better at runners in scoring position. So they can just put him up there to bat with runners in scoring position every time. We might actually get, you know, a competent, capable Justin Turner. But all this to say, watch out for Jake Lamb, because Dave Roberts essentially said they don't have anyone better. That's why Justin Turner's there. Jake Lamb could potentially be somebody that could push Justin Turner out of a spot if he continues to struggle. So that's where we're at there. Going to talk about this Freddie Freeman stuff. Some new stuff kind of came out. Hopefully this is the last we have to talk about it. But first, let's talk about LinkedIn, because small businesses are back in business and LinkedIn Jobs can make it easier to grow your team. They help you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. Just create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Let's get back into Dodger talk. Let's really quickly speak about Freddie Freeman and the latest thing. The latest thing being Ken Rosenthal put out an article kind of placing the blame on multiple parties for everything that happened with Freddie Freeman, putting some blame on the Braves, putting some blame on Freddie Freeman's management team or maybe former management team, and then putting some blame on Freddie Freeman for not pushing harder or not pushing his guys a little bit harder, for his management team to not really respect his wishes in the way that he would have probably liked, and the Braves for, I don't know, not giving him whatever. I forget what the Braves were blamed for, but either way, that was fine. The day could have gone on and we wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. And then Doug Gottlieb put out a tweet that said that Freddie Freeman's agent, Casey Close, never showed Freddie Freeman or never told Freddie Freeman about Atlanta's offer. And that's why, and Freddie found out over the weekend, and that's why all this stuff kind of started happening. It was something that was very plausible. It made sense. Freddie was already going to be emotional, but if he had found some new news or new things over this weekend, that could have caused a lot of this stuff that happened. Casey Close came out later in the night and basically denied everything and kind of threatened to pursue legal action against Gottlieb. I doubt anything's going to come from that. Hopefully in a couple days this all blow over. And I know I've talked to a lot of people over the last few days about all this stuff. And, you know, I've had some people ask me, oh, should we be worried? And for me, it's like, what would be we worried about? Even if that was true, that they didn't show Freddie the final offer from the Braves and whatever, is you can't change anything. He's not going anywhere. He's playing for the Dodgers. He's playing well recently. He's played well over the entire season. A couple, cold spells. Nothing's going to change. And I think the one thing that I see that I would like to just put out there and correct, it's not going to reach as many people as I want it to, but people are like, oh, Freddie Freeman regrets signing with the Dodgers, or oh, Freddie Freeman regrets blah, blah, blah. How can Freddie Freeman regret signing with the Dodgers when at that point, when he signed with the Dodgers, he wasn't going to sign with the Braves no matter what? They had already traded for Olsen. So there's no regret to have. It wasn't like Freddie Freeman chose the Dodgers over the Braves. He chose the Dodgers over the Rays and whoever else was offering him money. He didn't choose the Dodgers over the Braves. The Braves had already moved on. So, there's no... Freddie Freeman can't have regret of picking the Dodgers, of signing with the Dodgers. He can have regret about not pushing his agents. He can have regret about how things went down. But he can't regret signing with the Dodgers unless he regrets it over signing. Like, unless he's like, oh man, I should have signed with the Rays, who were another team that reportedly had an offer out for him. That's what he can regret. He can't regret signing with the Dodgers over the Braves because the Braves weren't going to sign him. That's like me saying, oh man, I regret not dating Rihanna. I never had a chance to date Rihanna. So I can't regret not dating Rihanna. So that's where it's at there. I hope we don't have to talk about this anymore. I'm very over it. There's been a lot of reasonable takes, and I'm using air quotes for those of you listening on the podcast. Reasonable takes about all this. At the end of the day, Freddie Freeman's a Dodger. He's going to be a Dodger, and he's playing well for the Dodgers, and he's continuing to play well for the Dodgers, and he's going to try to win the World Series with the Dodgers. So nothing's going to change about it. I had someone else ask me, like, oh, well, if he's unhappy, can he truly play at his best? Were Shaq and Kobe ever truly happy? I don't know. Yeah, they were when they were winning championships, but in the process, were they ever, like, truly happy? Is anyone ever truly happy all the time that's been able to play at the peak of their success? Probably not. So I'm not worried about it, and you shouldn't be either. That's it on Freddie Freeman. And I really hope the only other times we talk about Freddie Freeman is because he's hitting home runs for the Dodgers like he did in the win. Next piece of talk is Caleb Ferguson, who we've kind of pushed, not on purpose, but it's just kind of been pushed, and it wasn't really made as big of a story as I thought it was when I was reading the article. But last week, Jack Harris from the LA Times had an article about Caleb Ferguson, and here's a quote from it about Caleb Ferguson being upset that he was placed on the injured list. It says he, quote, wasn't too thrilled, unquote, about the decision. And then another quote, he said, quote, there's just been a lot of miscommunication over the last 2.5 months. Yeah, I'm just kind of tired of the miscommunication of it, end quote. He went on to talk about, you know, how he did feel some soreness the past couple weeks, but he thought he could still pitch. The Dodgers wanted to take a more cautious route. Dave Roberts had mentioned that they weren't comfortable using Ferguson in back-to-back games or 3 times in 4 days yet until that soreness was gone. And then that they put him, you know, on the injured list to give him another couple weeks to reset, get over the hump with the soreness. And they felt it was beneficial for him. This led on to say that Ferguson, this isn't the first time Caleb Ferguson has been frustrated in his recovery process. Quote, there was a lot of things in rehab that kind of got changed around and jerked around. I don't know. There's a lot of people involved in it. Everyone has their own voice to speak on it. I don't know. It's kind of a hard question without trying to be a jerk and call a bunch of people out, end quote. Now, a guy being frustrated with how, you know, a team is managing him and maybe being extra cautious makes sense. But this is interesting because the Dodgers have never really had any issues with players publicly about, like, playing time or the way they're coming back from injury or anything to that nature. So this is the first time we've really ever seen this publicly. Now, if it might have happened, I think the most public thing we've seen with the Dodgers is starting pitchers maybe being upset about coming out of games at certain times. And even then, it's usually maybe some type of public display of emotion or maybe some type of, I could have kept going, but I understand the thing. Caleb Ferguson didn't really have that but moment. It was basically, he thought his rehab process was longer than it thought had been, not by his choice, but that was what the team thought was best for me. He says, quote, I did it. I shut my mouth and did it. And I feel like we're kind of going back on with that. Mentioned that he's had conversations, that some conversations feels like he gets the point across, other conversations it feels like going in one ear and out the other. He says, there's a couple people that I feel are truly in my, or that are in my corner and that truly mean it. There's a couple people that are business people. That's kind of it. He didn't name any names. Brandon Gomes, the Dodgers GM, said, Part of what makes Ferguson great is he's a competitor and wants to pitch. I think he was feeling pretty good, but there was smoke in there with the arm soreness coming off another Tommy John, and trying to be mindful of his health, both short-term and long-term, we didn't feel great about pushing him at this time. Yeah, man. You know, Caleb Ferguson's probably going to come back off the injured list and hopefully remain off the injured list in the rest of the year, but it's just one of those things where this is the first time a guy's publicly really spoke out against the Dodgers and their process, especially in recovering from an injury. And it's just one of those things where, it's just interesting. I don't think it's going to mean too much other than maybe when Caleb Ferguson's time is up and the Dodgers don't throw him a bunch of money and it's kind of equal money all around, I think Caleb Ferguson might walk and go somewhere else and where he feels like he won't be treated the way he's been treated so far. So, yeah, just wanted to get that out there. Caleb Ferguson upset with the way the Dodgers handled him. And I can't say yes or no on either side of it, but it did seem interesting at the start of the year the way they went about it. The fact that he started in the minors, the fact that he came up, went back down, and that they hadn't pushed him to 2 days yet, even though it was time to start having relievers that could go to, all relievers should be able to go 2 days in a row. So we'll see what happens with Caleb Ferguson. Hopefully he just comes back and dominates the rest of the year. And that's all we can really ask for as Dodger fans. We're going to talk about the Padres series coming up. But first, let's talk about Sports Card Investor, the Sports Card Investor app. It's perfect if you're a casual card collector. It's perfect if you are a novice card collector. It's perfect if you're an expert card collector because it's something to help you out. Got you everything you need right there. Check it out. Breakout stars or prospects coming out. You can check the value of the cards right there on the app. You can go back and look at some of your old cards and see if they're worth anything today. Let's just say you have a stack of cards taking up space somewhere. Go through your cards, check them out on the Sports Investor app and Sports Card Investor app, and you can see what the value is and what they're going for. And if you got any money and if you have any extra money to spend on a Dodgers All-Star game or Dodgers playoffs or Dodgers regular season, whatever the case is. So it's free. So go down to the Sports Card Investor app today, free in the Google Play and App Store, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon to check it out. Jeff loves sports cards and he uses this app. So if you love sports cards, you can use this app too. After you do that, or after you make some money from the Sports Card Investor app, seeing what you got, it's time to make some more money. Go to betonline.net. They're your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. They got all the odds there, all the lines there. You can check out league reviews, news. You can listen to podcasts. You can do a bunch of different things at betonline.net. All in favor of trying to get you to make some money with your betting knowledge and skills. It's your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And the best spot for all the podcasts and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. So head to their website today on your laptop or mobile device to check it out and learn more about the trends, learn more about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's close out with the Padres series coming up. 4-game series with the Padres. To this point, the Dodgers have only played the Padres 3 times, took 2 out of 3 in San Diego. Now they get a 4-game series coming up. The Dodgers are not at full strength. The Padres are not at full strength. But the Dodgers are going to face some of the best Padres pitchers. Obviously, you're going to face 4 out of 5 anyway, so more than likely you're going to face them. But they're going to face Joe Musgrove. They're going to face Ian Snell. They're going to face Yu Darvish. And they're going to face Ricky Mackenzie Gore. Musgrove, they have yet to face this season. Snell, I don't believe they faced first time he was injured. Yu Darvish pitched very well against the Dodgers one time this season. Has pitched well against them since joining the Padres. And Mackenzie Gore, I don't believe he's pitched against the Dodgers this season or maybe ever. So that's a fearsome foursome. Musgrove, Snell, Darvish, Gore. When you're looking at it, the Dodgers will put out Mitch White in one of the games, which is not the most ideal. But then you'll get Gonsolin and you'll get Kershaw and you'll get Tyler Anderson. So, the Dodgers will be putting forward some good pitching as well. And it's going to be a game where or a series where, you know, you can't get too high, too low. The Dodgers are heading into the series up a game and a half on the Padres. And they both have had an interesting month of June, the Dodgers. And, well, you look at some of the stats. And the Padres, you think about their pitching and their offense hasn't quite been there. But the Padres lead the National League in runs scored in the month of June. They also are pretty good pitching-wise, being top five in team ERA and top two behind the Dodgers in starters ERA. But for all that, the Padres are only 3 games over 500 in the month of June, even though they've outscored opponents by 40 runs. So clearly, you know, everything's not going right for them. Manny Machado is out. Fernando Tatis has yet to return. So, you know, they definitely have their struggles in different areas, but it's not like they haven't been clicking in the month of June. They just haven't been able to turn those clicks into wins. Now, the Dodgers have also had a lackluster month of June, mostly because of the offense not being able to score. The Padres scored 152 runs in the month of June. The Dodgers have scored 106 runs in the month of June, if I'm not mistaken. So it hasn't been the best month for the Dodgers. But all that doesn't matter because now they're playing head-to-head and it does, you know, and they're going to turn into July, so June won't matter either. But either way, it wouldn't have mattered in the first place because that's how baseball works. When you play head-to-head, you throw out everything else and you just take whatever comes at you game by game. It will be an intense-ish series. I think that intensity that it had last year is not really there anymore in terms of how crazy it was, even though this year the Dodgers and Padres are actually playing how we thought it was going to be last year, with being very close in the standings and fighting for first place. But it, I don't know, I haven't seen the animosity. Maybe that's because they haven't played too much. They've only played each other 3 times so far this season. They're going to play 16 times from now until the end of the season, which is a lot of times. The Dodgers also are going to play the Giants a bunch of times from now to the end of the season. So it's one of those things where now it's time for the Dodgers to, you know, put up, not put up or shut up, but put up and show that they are still the best team in this division. You look at the Padres, and in the last couple weeks, struggled a little bit offensively, haven't scored as much as they were before, mostly because Manny Machado has not been in the starting lineup. But, you know, the usual suspects of Jake Cronenworth, he's a guy that always burns the Dodgers. He's a guy that's been hitting well. And Luke Voit has been another guy for them that's been hitting well. Other than that, it's been kind of meh from the rest of their offense, especially from their outfielders. You got Profar, you got Grisham, and I don't even know who plays right field for them at the moment, but I know as a whole, their outfield offense hasn't been that great. It's going to be probably a bunch of low-scoring games considering the starting pitching that we're going to see. And for the Dodgers to come out ahead, they're going to have to take advantage. And not, you know, I think when they face the Dodgers, you know, I don't know whether it's a matter of getting a little bit ramped up or everything else. It always seems that the offense, you know, is a little bit out of flux. Especially against Yu Darvish and even Blake Snell, who struggled to go past 5 innings last season, but would have some of his best starts against the Dodgers last year. And obviously right now the Dodgers are down Mookie Betts. They aren't really hitting that well collectively, but they do have Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman and Will Smith, who have been hitting well at the top of the order. It's one of those series where the top of the order, your stars, where the Dodgers still have the stars of Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman and to a smaller extent Will Smith, the Padres don't have their stars of Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado. That's where the Dodgers need to take advantage because they're fairly matched evenly the rest of the way. Even though star power-wise, the Padres starting rotation is better looking on paper, but also stat-wise, the Dodgers starting staff is better than them in the month of June, better than them in the season in terms of team ERA, and been pitching better than them the whole season. So it's a matter of winning games, playing strong defense, and, you know, I don't want to say productive outs and all that kind of stuff, but it seems to be one of those series where it's going to come down to who can put the ball in play in certain situations better than who or better than the other. And it also could come down to a slugfest. You never know. But I do think it's going to come down to playing good defense, hitting the runners in scoring position, and everybody else doing their job the way they know how to do their job. And, you know, I look forward to seeing the top of the order do some work. I look forward to seeing Gavin Lux continue to do. I look forward to Jake Lamb getting some at-bats and seeing what he can do. This is a big spot for him to earn more playing time, earn more staying time on the roster, and show that, you know, his new revamped swing is built for the majors, not just for Christian AAA pitching. So I'm excited for this series. Just, you know, you always want to face the teams that are – you always want to take advantage when you face the teams that are in your division, especially the teams that are chasing you in the standings, especially the teams that are right behind you, especially the Padres, who have tried to create a rivalry with the Dodgers, even though they haven't quite reached that area yet. But we know the fans, some fans on both sides, consider it a rivalry. It's definitely a rivalry of fans on social media. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping the Dodgers can take 3 out of 4. You hope for, you know, it's one of those where it's a 4-game series. Really, realistically, what's going to happen? A split. You know, less realistically, what's going to happen? Somebody takes 3 out of 4. Even less realistically, what's going to happen? Somebody sweeps the series. If it's going to be a sweep the series, the Dodgers got to do it. So that's all we got. We're going to talk about the first game tomorrow. We'll talk about the rest of the games on Monday. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. Check out Locked On MLB Prospects for your second listen of the day. Host Lindsey Crosby knows all about the stars of tomorrow because he is a prospect encyclopedia. So go check it out. He has a really good show, free and available wherever you get podcasts. Remember, you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Amperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.